Title of my message this morning is Made to Order. We usually think of made to order as something that we want, and we give special instructions to someone who can, maybe an item of clothing, or it may be a piece of furniture, and we want it made as just a certain way. I think that's the way God is with us. Each of us has been created in His image, but each of us at the same time is unique. And that's how God does that, only He knows, but that's what He does. This month we've been talking, and the emphasis is upon family and on relationships. And Pastor Jib has spoken on that last week, and a good message that reminded us of some basic truths about the family, but also some things that we need to do to be good family members. We're reminded that in the very first chapter of Genesis, God said that we were created in His image. But in chapter 2 and verse 18 in Genesis, He said, it's not good for man to be alone. Adam was by himself. He created a partner for him. And so we see the beginning of relationships. Relationships are blessings in many ways, but they also present challenges. As soon as one other person enters your life, you've got both a blessing and a problem, potentially. I don't say that from personal experience, of course, but it isn't good for us to be alone. Psalm 68, verse 6 says, God sets the lonely in families. And so we are a family. This morning, I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 22. We're going to be there a few moments, but before I go there, I'm going to turn the clock back on my life a little bit, back to the days of my previous career before I entered pastoral ministry. I was a school teacher and then an administrator, and the last job that I had was principal of a high school. And so I want to talk about two young men. I'm going to change their names. One is no longer, and the other one, I'm not sure where he is or what's happened in his life recently. So I'm going to call them Ron and Dan. Ron was a boy that I met in my first teaching position. He had cerebral palsy, which meant that at his birth or before birth, he had this condition, and it affected, of course, his muscle control and his speech to some extent. He was in the homeroom class. I was a registration teacher, but he also taught him French. And one of the problems that he had was that his writing was almost illegible. It was very difficult to read. And so I never knew when he did written work where the accents were over the letters or anything in French. And so it was a challenge. His mother was a wonderful person. I kind of have a suspicion she was a believer. She was a very kind person, very very concerned for her son, as you could imagine. Maybe a little bit overprotective. She almost daily called, at least at the beginning, almost daily called me to give me instructions on how to handle her son. And to some extent, that made Ron a little bit dependent on his mom. Still, this was a very intelligent young man. You could see this. He caught things. He was very bright and very resourceful. He could get by his handicaps in many ways. And I enjoyed him. I taught him in his grade 8 year. And then in his grade 9 year, I had again taught him French. I was very fortunate. But I was also his guidance counselor, which meant that I met with him and about 8 or 9 other boys on a weekly basis just to sort of debrief on life situations, things that were affecting 13, 14, 15-year-old boys. And it was an interesting time. I can remember one noon hour. I was on noon hour supervision. Teachers did that in those days. They had to do everything. And so I was out supervising. Outside, it was a fall day, beautiful day. And But the PA system for the school was also could be heard outside. And I heard my name being paged. Mr. Mitchell, would you come to the office? I knew I wasn't in trouble, but I didn't know what this was all about. I walked into the office to see an RCMP officer standing there. I thought, what have I done? What crime have I committed? We were in a municipality that the RCMP did not serve, so I was a little bit surprised to see an RCMP officer there. The principal approached me and he said, Mr. Mitchell, could you get Rod Owens for us, please? I said, yes, I can get Ron. I just had seen him out in the playground, so I went and got him. And he, with difficulty, came in with me. The RCMP officer asked us to sit down, and he looked right at Ron, and he said, I have some sad news for you. Both your parents were killed in a car accident this morning. I don't know who is in more shock, this young man or me. In fact, he showed no visible response to the news whatsoever. It was really incredible, the peace that he had. But I felt that there was probably more to it than that. I worried because he was very, very dependent upon his mother. I thought, how's he going to function? Who's going to help him? Well, that was taken care of. Family, friends came to his help. The kids at school came alongside and supported him. Within a few months, he was functioning very, very well. In fact, he went on. He not only survived in school, but he thrived. He was he made the honor roll before he finished school. He was loved and accepted by everyone. He went on to a successful life, as far as I know. Incredible. On the other side, I want to present to you Dan. Dan, I met towards the end of my school career. I was principal of high school, but I did teach one subject. Guess what subject it was? It's French again, French 8. And I had a young man who had been, this was his third time in grade 8 and third time at French 8. His name was Dan. He was a quiet boy. He wasn't a real problem. He wasn't a discipline problem. He was a loner in many respects, withdrawn, kind of kept to himself. I would say that his condition was that he had an allergy to school. He was just absent, not engaged with anything. He was just out of it. And he struggled, and all his marks were very poor, and I was concerned for him, so I asked that we convene a meeting of his teachers. And because I was one of his teachers, I asked the vice principal if she would chair that meeting. And we would bring the parents in and some other workers that might be able to help in the situation. I felt that we should try to make an effort to help Dan to get connected to school. Well, I wasn't prepared for what happened, really. It did not go well, put it this way. His father was very aggressive, very angry. He constantly referred to the boy as a loser. I think four or five times in 5 minutes, he kept calling him a loser. He was just, and then the teachers got involved, and every one of them seemed to dump on him. And I tried to bring it around by saying, how can we help Dan? What can we do for him? Is there a program that might be suitable? We had a mechanics program that I thought maybe we could try to fit him into. The dad said, no. We're not going there. This boy is a loser. I'm going to take him out of school. We're not going to waste any more time on him. Mother then came in and she pointed out or informed us that Dan was the fourth of the kids in the family. Actually, he wasn't supposed to happen. He was an accident. The boy is by there in the room when this is happening, by the way. She said, the other students are all good. You know, they've done well in school. They've been top of their classes. And then he comes along. And so she added to the fuel that was already on the fire. I tried, to make a suggestion that we'd be something positive for this, and could we do something to help him? Dad said, no, I'm pulling him out of school. And he had sensed that I was a little bit sympathetic to the boy. So he said, and you, pointing at me, keep your hands off him, don't have anything to do with him. If you go near him, I'm going to have the police on you. I didn't want to put that to the test, so we let it happen. He was pulled out of school, tried a job locally, didn't work, went to another community. I lost touch with him. The next year, in any event, I went on to Bible school. And I'm not sure it was that year or the next year that a student from the school that I was principal of came to the Bible college and enrolled, was in a first year. And she went home at Thanksgiving. And she came back. And she said to me, Mr. Mitchell, she always called me Mr. Mitchell, Mr. Mitchell, do you remember Dan? I said, yes. Do you know that he committed suicide, took his own life, shot himself? Not news I wanted to hear. I can't say I was surprised. What's the difference? One boy succeeds, the other boy is lost. I want to suggest that it was the support network that each of them had that made the difference. My point this morning, and if you get nothing else, you need to get this. You and I, each one of us is made for relationship. We're made to connect with one another. We're made to connect with God, and we're made to connect with each other. And when we have healthy, positive, productive relationships, things go well. When we withdraw, or when we are isolated, when we are alone, we're in trouble. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been kind of feeling sorry for yourself and you've maybe pushed everybody else away and there you have been? Doesn't it usually happen that you spiral down and further down and further down? You keep falling because there's no one there to lift you up. When the Bible says that we are made in the image of God, it clearly doesn't mean that we are all meant to look alike, because we don't. But I think we are all like God in that we are meant for relationship. God himself is God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God exists in community. We exist in families and in communities. And we need to have that sense of being connected to one another, being part of one another. We don't have to interfere with one another's lives and get to the place where we meddle, but we do have to be looking out. And I think as a church family, I'd like to encourage us to say, you know, because it's so easy in a fairly large church like Richmond Pentecostal Church to become isolated, to separate ourselves. I think we need to do more to be connected to one another. Know what's going on. Pray for one another. Support one another. My desire, my dream was that there would be no one in our church family who would feel alone. That there would always be someone there for them. Let's take a look at God's word. Matthew 22, verse 36. Jesus was asked a question and an answer. The question was, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? This is obviously a question to test. And Jesus' answer was a good one, because his questioner was obviously a good Jewish man, and he replied with a good Jewish answer. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." In Jewish tradition, there's something that looks, we would probably pronounce it in English, Shema, S-H-E-M-A. It's just Shema in Hebrew. And that is the term that Orthodox Jews use for putting the words of Deuteronomy 6, chapter 5, chapter 6, verse 5, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 together. Those two verses make up the Shema. And that is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. So it was a good answer. But also it was the right answer. Because he says, all the law and the prophets, everything in the Old Testament hangs on these two commandments. Now this doesn't mean for one moment, and by the way, there's a dispute about what verse 40 actually means. Scholars aren't exactly sure. But Jesus does seem to be telling us that loving God and loving others, our neighbors, is fundamental and it's indispensable to our love, to our lives as followers and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a command that we cannot and should not ignore. Must not ignore. And the key word, of course, is the word love. The word that Jesus uses in this text is the verb form of the Greek word agape. What he's saying is we are to love God and we are to love others with the same kind of love that God loves us. That's quite a command. In other words, he's saying that a self-giving, selfless love, a sacrificial love, is to characterize all of our relationships. People we like, people we don't like. You see, liking isn't the issue. Love goes beyond it. And as you've probably heard before, love is an action word. But why should we do this? What is the purpose of this command? Why is it so important that we love God and love others? Because in the absence of such relationships, we don't do well. Ron and Dan, the two men I introduced to you, are good examples. Ron flourished in spite of all his handicaps. Dan perished in spite of all his advantages. Without good and without productive, without strong relationships, you and I don't do well. And in the extreme, we can perish. But how do we love God? And how do we love others? How do we do that? Can I just make myself feel these things? No. It isn't about what we feel. It's what we choose to do. We'll manifest the kind of love that God wants for us and desires for us and commands for us as we build one another up as we care for one another, as we support one another, as we encourage one another, as we reach out and help others in their need, as we even take time to serve them when it's inconvenient. Yes, and sometimes we need to even go to the point of admonishing or correcting or disciplining them, because that's a necessary way to show love in those occasions. The love of God will do for us, and the love that we have for others will do for us what we saw in the life of my young friend, Ron. Ecclesiastes 4, there's some interesting verses. Starting in verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. There's profit. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man or woman who falls and has no one to help. And also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And I love this expression, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. If in a situation in our relations we have God, ourselves, and one other person, we have what we need to be firm. The love that God has for us is the same love that took Jesus to the cross to die in our place for our sins. And if that's the kind of love that's meant to be returned to him and shared with others that we encounter in our daily living, that's the love that is the distinguishing mark of the Christian life. So what does that love look like? I want to get very practical as I bring this message to a close. And how do we show that kind of love to other people? Let me just give you a few things that I think we could do. First of all, we need to spend time with others. And by that I mean we need to be present with them. Into our lives right now, we've injected a curse. I have one somewhere. Here it is. How many times, I don't know how many times I've gone into a restaurant or some public place, see people sit down to have lunch together, and one person pulls out one of these things and proceeds to do all kinds of things with it. Is that being present? I don't think so. I don't think so. When we get together, let's put the fool things away. There'll always be time to deal with that message, always time to deal with that answer, always time to check that email or whatever else we were intending to do. Right now, the person that's with us is the one we should be focused on.
Amen.
Thank you. And when we're with them, we need to listen. Not just with our ears, but with our heart. I don't know how many times, and you've probably experienced this too, I've sat down with somebody and they said, how are you doing? Fine. Oh no, things are not fine. I can sense from the answer, I can sense from your body language that things aren't fine. So let's talk about it. How can I help? What can I do? tell me what it, if you can, tell me about it, and maybe I can have a suggestion or two that will help you. Really listen. Listening is probably the worst communication skill that most of us have. We need to work on it. And when we listen to God, people say, well, how can I love God? How can I listen to God? Well, you can listen to God as you open his word. He's speaking to you from his word. You just have to read it. This is something you have to take in with your eyes and with your heart and not just with your ears. Listen to God as he speaks from his word. Listen to God as the Holy Spirit prompts you. I don't know how many times it's happened that I've been doing something and I felt this thing, you need to call that person. And when I call, I find out that that was a spirit-inspired moment. Sad to say, there have been times when that same voice has spoken to me and I haven't obeyed and regretted it. Listen to God, to others. Share life with people. I know there's some things you can't talk about with another person, that's especially somebody you don't know well, but we need to share our lives together. We need to welcome people into our company. You never know. There may be somebody here this morning who's desperate for a relationship with you. They don't know that. They just know that they're lonely. They need someone to come to draw near to them. So let's share life together. Let's open ourselves to other people. Let's look around and notice if there's somebody that maybe needs someone to come into their life and share it with them. And one that I really like, serving others. I can never enjoy a fellowship time. Not because I don't like fellowship, I do. But I always feel like I need to be doing something. So if I see that there need to, we go to a church fellowship and I see somebody needs to pour coffee, I'll pour coffee, or I'll run around, I'll just clean up. I love doing cleanup because I don't like messy places. I just want to serve people. I think that's one way that God has wired me. I just like to be there for people, to do things for people. Maybe you're not that way, but you would have another gift. But serve people. And I guess the bottom line is that we need to get out of ourselves and give ourselves to others. Allow people to share life with us. Yes. This morning, I don't know where you are in your life, but I hope that something I've shared this morning will be of help to you. My dream and prayer is this assembly, this church, would be a people passionate for God, but passionate about serving and sharing life with those who God has put in our midst. It's a diverse community, people from all over the world in this church, and yet we still have that need for relationship. And I suspect there's at least one person here this morning who would say, I need that relationship. So I would say to that person, reach out to God this morning. And then allow others. As we look around, if you see someone that you've never greeted, take the opportunity to do that this morning. Connect whatever way you can. Over coffee, it'll be available after the service again. Make a point of saying, can we get together sometime? And those of us who've been longer time members of this, or attending this assembly, Are there some relationships that we need to rekindle? We've let them kind of pass by in the busyness of life. Could we reach out and say, I've missed our times together. Can we do it again? So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. As we always do here, I want to begin by asking this question. Is there anyone here this morning who cannot say with honesty that they have a relationship with God? Is there anybody here this morning who has never said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I want a relationship with you. I want a relationship with God through you, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, if you have no relationship with God as far as you can tell, I'm going to ask you to do something that takes a little bit of courage. Could you just slip up your hand right now so that I can see it? And I just want to know that I have someone that I need to be praying for today. Is there anyone? I have another question. Is there anyone here this morning who would say, Pastor Bob, yes, I know Jesus. I have a relationship with him, but I haven't been doing well in that relationship. I haven't been spending time with him. I haven't been present with him. I haven't been reading his word the way I should. I haven't been praying the way I should. I want to repent. I want to change, and I want that relationship to be rekindled. If you're here, and again, I'm going to ask you to be bold enough, and just, I'm not going to single you out, and I'm not going to make a list. I just want to know that there are folks that we need to be praying for this morning. Could you just slip up your hand if you need to have that relationship with God rekindled at this time in your life. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. One other question. There may be folks here today who would say that in their life right now there are situations or a situation, one or more, in which you're struggling in a relationship. That the relationship seems to be interrupted by some circumstance. And your desire is to... The Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning and giving you the desire to want to repair that relationship. I want you this morning, just as we close this service, I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand. I'm not going to single you out in any way. I just wanted to say, would you, as we close in prayer, just turn that over to God? If you need help in that area, feel free to contact any of our pastoral staff. We'd be glad to sit down with you and help you work through those issues. So, Father God, we thank you. And as I'm praying, I'm going to ask if the worship team would come back and be prepared to lead us in our closing song. Father God, we thank you for your word, a word which is very practical in its instruction, a word that reminds us that you long more than anything else to have a relationship, a close relationship, an intimate relationship with each one of us, that you desire to spend time with us and you desire us to spend time with you. And if we've been negligent of that in any way, we pray that you would help us to get back into some kind of routine that would draw us close and into that relationship again. Help us to be present with you when we gather, not to be distracted by other things, by music or what's going on around us, but just to focus on you. And help us in our relationships with other people to do the same thing, not to be distracted, not to be thinking about what I'm going to do next, but just to spend time with the person that I'm speaking with at that moment. Help us to do that. And Lord, if there are relationships which are going through difficult times, represented by the congregation here this morning, we just invite you, Lord, to step in and give direction. And if they need help, give them the courage to reach out and receive that help. If they need to go to that person and try to make things right, your word instructs us in how to do that. So allow that to happen, we pray. We pray that you would draw us closer together, that you would make us stronger together, that this church would indeed be a lighthouse to this community, something that would draw people away from the rocks that would be a snare to them into a place of safety. And may this be always a safe place for people to find you, know you, and grow in you. We ask for this, ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.